So I grew up with a Catholic mother and a Jewish father. I would tell people, I'm Jewish. I'm not going to do this. And they respected that. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahirrabbilalameen. Ar-Rahmanir-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. To get older, I started to really question the Trinity. How could 1 + 1 + 1 = 1 and not 3? I call up my buddy Yahya and Ramez every single morning, 6:20. Salam alaikum, Habibi. It's time for Fajr. Boom, boom, yalla, yalla, which means, come on, get up.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. My next guest is here to share his life-changing story with you. Having a Christian mother, a Jewish father, and being baptized Christian at a young age, receiving his communion, going to Catholic school for 12 years, to following Judaism, and then being addicted to women, porn, masturbation, pills, marijuana, nicotine, and alcohol, the list goes on, as well as tattoos, to what's he up to now? Well, that's why he's here on the Dean Show, to share his life-changing story with us. Our next guest coming up. Assalamu alaikum, Matthew. Matthew Bryans,
Ryan,
how are you?
I'm well, alhamdulillah. How are you?
Good, alhamdulillah. It's very nice to have you on the program. Did we hit that introduction right? There's a lot to list there. You seem like you went through a lot.
Yeah, I went through quite a bit.
Yeah. But that seems like kind of it's kind of like the norm today. It's like a lot of people are, a lot of the things you mentioned. It's that crazy roller coaster of life that people just are filling that void with all these different things that we had listed. Yeah. So we didn't finish the rest of the story, but let's kind of back it up. Let's start from the beginning, kind of give people a timeline. So tell us about your early years.
So I grew up with a Catholic mother and a Jewish father, and I went to Catholic school from kindergarten to 8th grade, learned a lot about theology class and whatnot, and then I ended up actually going to a Catholic high school, Bishop Hendrickson, in the state I live in, from 9th grade to 12th grade. And I was also an altar boy when I was younger, and I learned a lot about Christianity, Catholicism, and I always had a lot of questions that I felt weren't always answered. So I ended up drifting from that faith into following more of my father's side with Judaism, because I personally believed that I believed that Jesus was not the Son of God. I believed God was too far and above and beyond that to have a son. And I followed with Judaism because I felt that was more reasonable with what I believed in. So after that, I ended up following Judaism, but still, drinking, doing drugs, alcohol, and whatnot. And it wasn't until I went into my buddy's convenience store, who's Muslim, and started talking to him and another Muslim friend about Islam. And I was debating Judaism with Islam. And we were going back and forth for 3 hours, to a point where my friend had said, "All right, guys, you guys are never going to get to each other. You guys are both going to just be stuck on your own ways with what you guys have to say." And I left that night with my ego intact, thinking, I'm not wrong here. I'm not wrong. I know Judaism is the way. And then I was just open-minded enough to learn about Islam. And when I learned it about Islam, I just wanted to learn more and more about it. And before I knew it, I had just believed in this more than I had believed in anything else that I've believed in my entire life, and it took me to where I am today.
Wow, that's deep. More than anything that you believed in your previous life, let's say, or in the beginnings. This is now that you got exposed to Islam, this is something that just, what would you say, just made the most sense?
Made the most sense, was just so profound and pure to me. I had I normally with my other the other religions I was in, I had a lot of questions, but every question I had with Islam was just always answered. I never felt like my answer wasn't thorough. I always felt like my answer was perfect, and it couldn't have been any more perfect than what the answer I received.
Let's start with the first 12 years. Communion, Christianity. What was your belief at that time, and what were some of the questions that you had?
Well, I believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I believed that Jesus was God. I believed in the Trinity. And that was also when I started to get older, I started to really question the Trinity. How could 1 + 1 + 1 = 1 and not 3? How could the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost all be one? It just I had this question about I'm like, that's got to be 3. I know it's the Trinity. The Trinity means 3. But I just always had that question about how could three equal one when I always thought 1 + 1 + 1 equal three. So that was a big question that actually stemmed why I started lacking faith in Christianity.
And then, so then you go to what, the priests, the higher, the scholars, the people at the church. What questions are you asking that you're not getting a answers for?
It wasn't necessarily questions I had asked priests. A lot of questions I asked priests, it wasn't necessarily about Jesus. It was more about God, like who created God? How did God come into existence? And one of the priests I remember said actually something wise. They said that God was always there. And that reconciled with me. I could start to understand that, but not wrap my mind around it. But when it came to my question that I had, like the deepest, is how could a man be God? That was my biggest question, and I felt that no matter who I asked, that was never going to be truly answered. Like a lot of times, the question was just it'd be like beat around the bush, and I'd never get a direct answer other than the Trinity, back to the Trinity, how it's three in one. And I just that just honestly to me it never made sense, and I just didn't thoroughly believe in this. And even if I wanted to try to thoroughly believe in it, I knew in my heart I didn't believe in it.
Okay, so then the next part. So how do you switch over then? You go towards Judaism now. So you make a drastic switch.
So I was never bar mitzvah or anything, but I started following more with my father's traditions with Judaism, and I'd be in school, and I remember we always had mass at school because we went to a Catholic school, and I remember it started where people would get up and sit up and kneel, and I wouldn't do that because I was like, well, I don't believe in this. I would tell people I'm Jewish. I'm not going to do this, and they respected that. So I'd go to the masses because you start to go, and there was other Jewish kids at my school, and we did the same thing. We sat down. We didn't follow the normal traditions where you get up, you stand, you kneel, and go in line for communion. We didn't do that. So that was the next step that ended up happening was I still had to go because being in a Catholic school still as a Jewish person, I still had to be in the mass, but I didn't have to participate in the mass. So that was my next step.
How would that work? Because traditionally, what is it that your mother has to be Jewish for you to be considered a full Jew? How does that work? Now, because your father was Jewish, but your mother was Christian.
Absolutely. So I just decided, like I said, I was never bar mitzvahed. I would just follow with Judaism, where I didn't go through the entire process, but I would just follow through with Judaism when it came to what my father believed and what I started to believe more than I believed in Christianity versus not believing Jesus is the Son of God. Or God's son. So I just decided to branch off more in that aspect where I understood that Jews didn't believe this. And that's what I started to just more follow through with, is that I didn't believe this.
Now, if you're following both religions, if you go from one to the other, you know that the Christian religion and also Judaism would probably be strongly against the lifestyle that you were living, like alcohol, drugs, the womenizing, all those things, they would be against that. So how did that fit in? How did the moral, at least the moral teachings of the religions, now what was the disparity there?
I didn't have it in my heart.
Oh.
Yeah, I wasn't in my heart where when I had converted to, I reverted to Islam, where, Islam means to submit to God. I had truly submitted to God and realized doing stuff that were haram only pushed me farther away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala versus closer to him. And that me giving up all this stuff, I thought all that stuff made me happy, but I didn't know what happiness was. I thought it made me happy, but I didn't know what happiness was. And when I submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reverted to Islam and gave up all these things, I noticed that living a life more pleasing to Allah made me truly happy. And I never could understood how this would happen, but I've never been more at peace, never been happier in my entire life.
Now, I just want to go ahead and for the Christian or Jewish audience or the non-Muslims, not yet Muslims out there, now when they hear you say Allah, they think maybe this is some different, strange God. Like when you say Allah, what do you mean,
I
Allah?
mean, God, God in Arabic is literally Allah, just like hi in Spanish is hola. It's the same. It is the same thing. I try to make this analogy to other people too that don't understand. It's the same. It's still God.
Yeah, many people just. If you're a Christian or Jewish and you're Arabic speaking, they use the word Allah. Arabs and Jews who are Jews and who are Christian, and I like to point this out that in the Aramaic language that Jesus spoke, he would say Allah, Elohim. So this is the because the English language didn't exist. So at that time, there was no such thing as what people say God, because the language didn't even exist. So Allah, this is the creator of the heavens and earth. Okay, so now we're seeing that it wasn't in your heart. You hadn't truly submitted. So you're going through all of the different ways of following your desires. But now, what is it about Islam that truly has you submit, and now the life-changing experience happens?
Well, I just started to realize things that would speak to me and make me feel a certain type of way that made me feel it was just the pure truth. How in Islam, we don't believe Jesus is God, peace be upon Jesus, but we believe he was a prophet, just like Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And in order to be Muslim, you have to believe in Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, because if you don't, then how can you believe in the Quran, the revelations that were given to him? So, and I felt like, I'm not discrediting the Bible and this and that, but I felt that there was some truth in the Bible about the miracles of Jesus, the peace be upon him, those were real. But I felt like the big picture, the main idea that he was the Son of God, I personally felt wasn't true. But in Islam, him being a prophet, and the miracles he made still being his miracles made so much more sense to me. It spoke to me, and I felt like this is what it means. So I felt the Quran kind of reset everything, put everything together and pieced it together, and said like this is what's going on with Christianity and Judaism, but this is what it is. Where in Judaism, Jews don't really believe that Jesus is a prophet, and they don't believe in Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And I felt that in order to believe in the Quran, you have to believe in Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the revelations.
So as someone who was practicing Judaism for some time now, for that transition, Jesus is totally out the picture now. He's totally denied as the Messiah, which we believe he is, as a prophet, a mighty messenger. He's totally in Judaism. In Christianity, he's elevated to God, Son of God. So that's cleared up in Islam. He's a messenger of God. But in Judaism, he was just totally out the picture?
Yes. We were Jews. As Jews, we believe that Jesus was a person that existed. But we don't believe in him as a prophet.
Mm-hmm. So now, what do you? What's your connection to Jesus now? Do you love Jesus as a Muslim?
I love Jesus as a Muslim, and I have a lot more respect for Jesus as a Muslim than I even did as a Christian, as a Catholic, because I didn't believe he was the Son of God. I just believed maybe he existed, but I didn't know. I even as a Christian, as a Catholic, I would sit there and sometimes doubt these miracles, right? And I wouldn't believe. And in Judaism, I just believed he was a person. But it wasn't until Islam where I had understood the Quran to be the word for God verbatim. And I had understood, I'm like, wow, he may not have been the Son of God, but Jesus, Isa, peace be upon him, his miracles were real, and his revelations as well were real.
Now, dealing with all the things that you were dealing with, you talk about how the change pretty much happened quickly. You know, you gave up. What people end up going through Alcohol Anonymous, they end up going through all of these different support groups, and it's just like they cannot give up many of these things that you were battling with. But you pretty much, you talk about how it pretty happened pretty quickly. Like how were you able to make that happen, or how did that happen?
I just, I loved all these things, right? Or I thought I loved smoking and drinking and nicotine and pornography and masturbation, all that stuff. I thought like this stuff made me happy. I'm like, oh, I feel good after doing this stuff. I thought it made me happy. I didn't know what happiness was. And when I started to learn more about Islam and about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his miracles and the revelation, the most beautiful miracle of all time, the Quran, I just believed so much. I had zero doubts. And there was nothing more I wanted to do where I truly believe that the Quran is the word of God. And I'm like, wow, Islam means to submit to God. I have to submit to God. And I felt like a pull to Islam and to want to submit to God, where I'm like, right when I said shahada, I had went in my phone immediately before and cleared out all like the dirty bookmarks I had of pornography and everything. And I'm like, and I was so like used to doing this stuff, like pornography, masturbation. It was just a normal part of my life. And I remember taking Shahada the first time, how I immediately clear all that out. And I'm like, wow, like I haven't even taken Shahada yet. I'm like, this is powerful. And then I remember a few days later, I had taken Shahada at Masjid. And I told myself, it was on Christmas Eve. I went to Masjid. And right when I got out of there, the night before I took Shahada there, I said, that's it. I'm not smoking anymore. I'm not smoking marijuana. I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not vaping nicotine. I'm not doing haram stuff. I'm not going to continue to date women unless it's with the intentions to get engaged. Because we as Muslims, we don't date. We get engaged and married. I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to submit to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what I did. And I've never felt better in my entire life.
You even talk about you started calling up some of your Muslim friends, waking them up for Fajr. You got to even to that point?
Yeah, I still do that today. So I call up my buddy Yahya and Ramez every single morning, 6:20. Salam alaikum, Habibi. It's time for Fajr. Boom, boom, yalla, yalla, which means come on, get up. And I call them every single morning. And those two were one of the people that actually showed me the way of Islam. So I felt like, hey, like, you know, I don't want them to miss Salat. And inshallah, you know, they haven't missed a Salat since this year has started. So, it makes me feel good. And also, it's funny because not being a Muslim before to being a Muslim and staying on top of my Muslim friends who I never thought I'd be Muslim or share this deen with, it's just something I've never experienced before where I'm able to do this. And it just feels great just to wake up and just to wake them up for Fajr and remind them how important it is to lift that blanket up and to pray, because I feel that praying to God is the most important thing. Like, I'll sit there, I'll be tempted of something, whether it's to do this or do that, anything. And I'll sit there and I'll pray to God while I have my head down, and I'll ask God to fight, give me the strength to not be tempted and to go into this path or even cave into the stuff I used to do. And the moment after I pray, it's like a feeling of peace and of being restored that I've never had when I prayed as I was Christian or Catholic or Jewish. I've never had this powerful feeling overcome me before. It's just so profound that it's praying five times a day is truly like all the drugs I did before can't compare to this feeling. Like, I thought all that stuff that I did made me happy. Me praying and getting up and praying on time makes me happier than anything. And I constantly remind my other Muslim friends that have doubt and faith and will sit there and say, oh, how do I not know the other religions are true? And I'm like, well, fortunately for me, I was in these other faiths. And I'm not disrespecting any other faiths, but I'm telling you, me as someone who's went through these things, I've had a lot of questions and I've had no questions about Islam. And if I ever had a question, it was immediately answered. And it was what I believe to be true and realer than anything. So.
When you are going back to Fajr, like when you see Muslims who are born in Muslim families and they're not taking advantage of this antidote for depression, for many of the social ills that they're going through in life, but the antidote is there, the cure is there, the remedy is there, but you see they're not implementing it, they're not utilizing it. What do you think? Like, and now you actually got to implement the Salat and you're seeing the effects of it, right? You're a living proof. What do you say to them, you know, who they take this for granted?
I always tell my Muslim friends, and some of them who saw me as a Jewish person or someone who was in the Christian or Catholic faith would look at me, especially as a Muslim now, and say, how do you do all this? And I tell them, I say, Habibi, don't take this deen for granted. Because it is not only a blessing, it is a privilege to be a Muslim and to live the life we live. And I remind them how if you're not praying five times a day, you're not gonna feel at peace. You're not gonna feel as happy. Look at it like this. Like every prayer you say, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the five prayers, if you miss one prayer, you're not gonna feel as complete as you would if you prayed all five prayers. And every time you pray and you submit to God, you become further at peace and happy. And every time you don't pray and you do haram stuff, whether it's smoking or drinking and getting used to the American culture and putting the culture in front of the deen, the dunya in front of the deen, you forget this. You forget that no matter what, our souls are always going to crave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you're doing these stuff, you get pushed further away from God and you become less and less happy. And you think those things make you happy, but they don't make you happy. Wallahi, they don't really make you happy. If you think they're happy, they make you happy. You don't know what happiness is.
What's been the reaction from your mother and father? Because decision that you made, you taking the Shahada, this is fairly recent, correct? Yeah. So what's been the reaction from some of your friends, previous friends or family members, those closest to you?
SubhanAllah, it is such a relief that my mother and father were very supportive and understanding. They didn't judge me. And it's great, alhamdulillah. And then I try to also teach my mother some things about Islam and how, you know, even though she's a Roman Catholic, I try to remind her that Jesus, peace be upon him, is still a very big figure in Islam. We respect Jesus and we still love Jesus and we believe in his miracles and we believe in Mary. So I try to show her these passages from Quran about how Jesus spoke as a baby and said, I'm a messenger of Allah, I'm a prophet. And how if you don't believe that he spoke as a baby, but you believe in these other big miracles about him bringing people back from the dead, I'd say that bringing people back from the dead is more harder to believe than a baby speaking. And when you say stuff like that, it's like it kind of hits home where they're like, hey, you know what? You're kind of right about that.
When you now look back at your life, how you were living before, and now to what you're upon now, are there any regrets whatsoever?
Oh, the only regret I have is that I didn't submit sooner. Mm-hmm. That is the only regret I have. But other than that, I have no regrets of reverting to Islam.
Mm-hmm. What do you say when you watch the news, or if you hear, you know, an ignorant person or someone who's just not educated, or some people would have deliberate attempts to misguide people, and when they, you know, throw these different slogans out there, oh, you know, Muslim terrorists, oh, you became a terrorist, they you know, they try to go ahead and mock the religion and they bring up things that are totally opposite to Islam. You know, Islam oppresses women. How can you follow a religion that does X, Y, and Z? And it's attributed to many bad things. What do you say now that you've actually investigated Islam and you've tasted it for yourself? You're living it. Obviously, you're an intelligent human being. You wouldn't go towards a way of life that was calling you to evil, to hurting humanity instead of benefiting humanity. Like, what do you say to people like that?
Well, first thing I say is that Muslims respect and love women, and we put them, they come first, they come second, and they come third. We have more respect and love for women than I could see in the Roman Catholic faith when I was going down that path, and Judaism. That's not that they don't respect women, they do, but I've never felt that or been in a part of a deen or our deen that loves and respects women and holds them to such a value and gives them the utmost love and respect. Also, when I was younger, I also had this view that are Muslims terrorists and this and that. And it was because I wasn't open-minded enough to learn about Islam and even open the Quran. And I feel that anybody that even has those thoughts is just strictly believing what's on the media and is not even educating themselves on Islam or the Quran or Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And I honestly feel bad for those people that are missing out. But all I do is encourage people, don't be open-minded, open the Quran. Open the Quran, be open-minded, and learn about this beautiful faith. And don't let the media fool you into thinking that this faith, this deen, is something that it's not, because that's not what it is. If that was the case, then if I honestly felt that way, then I would have saw what I saw on TV as a kid and the media portraying Muslims as terrorists, and I would have never became a Muslim. That would have never happened if I had firmly believed that and didn't decide to further educate myself on these things and learn what Islam is really about and how it is the most beautiful thing in the entire universe. There is nothing more beautiful than Islam.
So what advice would you have for someone who's dealing with the porn addiction, masturbation, like you list the pills, marijuana, nicotine, alcohol, just can't wait to get the next tattoo, go to the next party, but they're still unhappy. They're still, you know, they're tuning in right now. What advice do you have for them?
You may think you're happy going to these parties and drinking and smoking and getting high with your friends and smoking blunts and going to the bar and hooking up with women and this and that. Habibi, that is not happiness. That is not happiness, I can promise you. If you think that is happiness, give this a chance. Give your life to God. Submit to God. Live a life more pleasing to Allah than pleasing to yourself. And I promise you, once you start living a life more pleasing to Allah, you will know what happiness is. But you have to submit. You have to submit. You have to pray five times a day. You got to give up the haram stuff. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you with your problems. It's going to numb everything. It's not going to make it go away. It's going to put you in a deeper hole, and it's going to make you even more depressed to a point where you're relying on these things to be happy. You don't have to sit there and necessarily do any of that. You shouldn't do any of that when you submit to God. And when you do submit to God, you will feel happiness. You will feel pure. You will feel at peace. I used to be so depressed that I would be afraid to even own a gun. If I owned a gun, I'd be afraid. I wouldn't know what I would do with it. I don't know if I'd harm myself. And I always thought I'd have that thought in my head. But ever since I reverted to Islam and I've been at peace and I've been happy, I'm no longer depressed. Allah has cured me of this depression. If I owned a gun, I wouldn't even be afraid to own a gun anymore. That's how safe I feel. I've never felt safer in my entire life, and knowing that God is with me more than now. And God has never abandoned me. I abandoned God, but God has never abandoned me. And even when I abandoned God, He still never abandoned me. He took me back.
What we usually tell people is because in a land of confusion, in a life of confusion, and that's why people end up going towards all of these different artificial things, and they get caught up with the rat race of life, and they put this in their body, put that on their body, and it still doesn't fill the void. You know, they have been led now, and they're listening to your story. And inshallah, God willing, it can be of inspiration and motivation for them to do something very simple, and that is ask. Ask the creator of the heavens and earth alone for guidance. And there is a beautiful prayer and dua, and it's something that Muslims start off their prayer with every day. You know, it's the Al-Fatiha. So this, I know you're fairly new to Islam. You took your Shahada how long ago?
December 19th, I had taken it in front of two of my Muslim friends. Yeah. And December 24th, on Christmas Eve, I took it at Masjid.
Mm-hmm. Have you gotten a chance to get more to learn how to recite the Al-Fatiha?
Yes.
Beautiful. We use this. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but this as something as a motivation for others to go ahead and to if you don't mind reciting it for us and let them hear this. And then also we'll give the meaning, and then you out there, you can also repeat these words and you can ask, because a lot of times people are like, where do I start? This is a beautiful way. You know, you can start it in the English language, you know, and hopefully build up to it after you take your Shahada. But can you share the Al-Fatiha with us?
Absolutely. Yeah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanirrahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ آمين.
الحمد لله. Yep. May Allah bless you, brother. Inshallah, this could be a motivation for others who've left the salah, people who are seeking guidance, you know, to hear someone who's been through the struggles you've been through, the transitions in life, to actually now, you know, reciting the Quran. It's very heart touching and beautiful. I'm very happy, elated, and these are feelings of joy just listening. And inshallah, they can be a motivation for others listening to you. And let's not forget the meaning, you know. This is the all praise to the creator of the heavens and earth, the master of the day of judgment. You alone we worship. You alone we seek for help. Guide us to the straight path, the path of those who've favored, not those who've gone astray. What a beautiful, beautiful way of asking the creator of the heavens alone for guidance. You did that, and you're here with us on the Deen Show. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Any closing words and comments you want to share with the audience? Anything else incredible about your story that you thought we missed?
I just want to say, don't be afraid to open the Quran and even read one surah. If you read one surah, you read two surahs, you're going to want to read more. You're going to want to learn more about Islam. Don't listen to what the media has to say about it. Don't listen to it, please. If it can change my life and I can be as deep down in a hole as I was, not thinking there was a light at the end of the tunnel, know there's a light.
Thank you very much for being with us again, brother. May Allah bless you, continue to preserve you, and keep you on a straight path, and all of us, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
And thank you all for tuning in here to the Deen Show. And this was, I mean, if you got to hear the last part, this was just very amazing to listen to our brother here, you know, to go through that journey, and then to, you know, be reciting, you know, the Quran, you know, now waking up his friends, his brothers for Fajr, you know, let's not take this deen for granted. This is something that is a treasure. And you can have it today, lose it tomorrow. So hold on to it, just like you'd hold on to money, you know, gold, silver, whatever the case, stocks and bonds and your cryptocurrency. That stuff at the end is going to be perished. That stuff you're going to have to leave behind. But your deen, your way of life, Islam, submission to the creator, not the creation, that's what you got to hold on to, because that's going to transfer over to the next life. And then it's either Jannah or Jahannam, paradise or the hellfire. We want to get to Jannah, inshallah. So I make dua for you, for me. Keep me in your duas, and we'll see you next time here in the Deen Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. We'll see you next time. And if you, I almost forgot, I got a gift for you. If you're somebody out there who'd like a free copy of the Quran and you want to learn more, and you can see how our brother Matthew, how he ended up coming to this deen, go ahead and visit thedeenshow.com and get your free copy of the Quran, or call us if you have any questions. 1-800-662-ISLAM. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.